Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we are welcoming all of you to Radha Gopinath Mandir. And I just wanted to introduce today's speaker, His Grace Paramahansa Prabhu. This is my great honor to introduce His Grace Paramahansa Prabhu. He has been practicing Krishna consciousness past 20 years. He holds the degree from a postgraduate degree from Mumbai IIT, and he is one of the active counselor in Radha Gopinath Temple, and he is presently hold the position of deputy director in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So we are very heartily welcome him by loudly chanting three times Hari Bol.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Seeking blessings of all the Vaishnavas, order of devotees, would like to speak in the Sunday feast program. Before we start, I would like to clarify a confusion, and that is about the topic of the lecture. I was supposed to speak on Vaishnav Seva, but it so happened that the team that was going to present the skit on it disappeared at the last moment. So we had to do the last minute adjustment, and somehow or other we are trying to relate to the theme of today's skit, that is Jeev Daya. So we would be speaking about compassion to the living entities, and particularly its connection to our own spiritual life. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 2, text number 1. The verse is as follows. Sanjaya uvacha tam tatha kripaya avishtam. Tam tatha kripaya avishtam ashrupurna kulekshanam. Ashrupurna kulekshanam vishidantam idam vakyam. Vishidantam idam vakyam uvacha madhusudanah. Uvacha madhusudanah. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sanjaya said, seeing Arjuna full of compassion, his mind depressed, his eyes full of tears, Madhusudan Krishna spoke the following words. Purport. Material compassion, lamentation, and tears are all signs of ignorance of the real self. Compassion for the eternal soul is self-realization. The word Madhusudan is significant in this verse. Lord Krishna killed the demon Madhu, and now Arjuna wanted Krishna to kill the demon of misunderstanding that had overtaken him in the discharge of his duty. No one knows where compassion should be applied. Compassion for the dress of a drowning man is senseless. A man fallen in the ocean of nations cannot be saved simply by rescuing his outward dress, the gross material body. One who does not know this and laments for the outward dress is called a Shudra, or one who laments unnecessarily. Arjuna was a Kshatriya, and this conduct was not expected from him. Lord Krishna, however, can dissipate the lamentation of the ignorant man, and for this purpose, the Bhagavad Gita was sung by him. This chapter instructs us in self-realization by an analytical study of the material body and the spirit soul, as explained by the Supreme Authority, Lord Sri Krishna. This realization is possible when one works without attachment to fruitive results and is situated in the fixed conception of the real self. Hare Krishna. Before I speak, I want to announce a disclaimer. Today is the world of disclaimers. The first disclaimer is that the speaker sitting here no way conveys the authority which belongs to this temple. He is very insignificant in every way to represent the great parampara. The second disclaimer is that whatever we are presenting is not intended to hurt anyone. It is just a simple presentation of the truth, which is presented by Lord Sri Krishna and his followers. And the third disclaimer is that don't assume that somebody who is sitting from this seat and is speaking necessarily conveys the full understanding and embodies the right principles in his own life. So I am seeking all of your mercy before I start, so that I can be excused for all my shortcomings and limitations. Hare Krishna. Just now we have witnessed a beautiful skit. The title of the skit was Jeev Daya. Of course, Srila Sanatana Goswami is hinting on a very important principle. Jeev Daya actually stands for compassion for all living entities. However, the word compassion is not very much understood properly by many people. And therefore, we need to understand what is true compassion and how a devotee should practice that compassion in his own life. The skit that was presented here, just to summarize, it is about the life of three principal Goswamis of Vrindavan, three of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan: Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, and Srila Jeev Goswami. As we have witnessed that, a very great scholar visited Vrindavan and he wanted to defeat all the scholars who were there in Vrindavan. And that time, Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, they were highly revered souls. They were experts in the knowledge of pure devotional service, and also they were practicing in their own lives to the best possible extent. This pandit, I hope his name was Rupa Narayan, he visited there and he wanted to defeat them. And Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they considered it to be waste of time just to argue with somebody and establish some facts or authority. So they happily signed the so-called declaration letter that we have accepted defeat. And the same Rup Narayan later on visited Srila Jiva Goswami. Srila Jiva Goswami, naturally, he was also humble as his spiritual masters, uncles. But then he considered in his heart, that is the quality of a servant. Sometimes a servant can take a position which may be a little bit opposite to the master. But then, that is the quality of the most qualified disciple. There are three types of disciples. The best disciple is that one who can execute the order of Guru without him giving any order. He can understand the heart of his Guru and execute the will of his Guru. The second qualified is, the second level, he does whatever Guru says. The third one, he does opposite to what Guru says. So there are three types of disciples. So Srila Jiva Goswami, in his heart, actually understood that yes, Srila Rup Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they are exhibiting the principle of humility. At the same time, their humility should not become a sort of example for egocentric or proud people to profess their own glory. And just to maintain the elevated position, he acted against the principle of humility to enter into argument with Srila Rup Goswami and Rup Narayan. And when he did that, after some time he defeated Rup Narayan. But when he came back and told Srila Rup Goswami about the incidents of so-called defeating Rup Narayan, Srila Rup Goswami in his heart understood that whatever Jiva Goswami has done is right. But then, again, a great soul has to understand that whenever these incidents would be discussed later on in other Vaishnavas, how they would be taking it. So therefore, just to instruct all the Vaishnavas, he punished Srila Jiva Goswami and banished him from Vrindavan, indicating that Vrindavan is not a place for those who have any tinge of pride in their heart. Srila Vrindavan Dham belongs only to those who are completely purified souls, full of humility and pridelessness, although they possess a great amount of wisdom and knowledge. So that is the instruction he wanted to give. So Srila Rup Goswami banished Srila Jiva Goswami, and after some time, Jiva Goswami was living in a crocodile hole, and after some time, Sanatan Goswami visited there and he saw a very deplorable condition of Srila Jiva Goswami, how he was in repentance, living his life. And that time, Srila Sanatan Goswami brought Srila Jiva Goswami again back to Srila Rup Goswami. And he prompted Rup Goswami to speak the essence of Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma stands for that religion that is practiced by non-envious people. Dharmo projit kaitavotra paramo nirmat saranam satam. The religion of Bhagavatam, actually the word religion is not appropriate. Bhagavad Dharma is practiced by those who are completely free from any type of envy. Nirmatsara. As long as somebody has matsar in his heart, it is very difficult to practice what is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, the essence which is there in Bhagavad Dharma, sometimes Bhagavad Dharma is understood to be devotional service, which is true. Sometimes Bhagavad Dharma is understood to be glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is also true. But then, the greatest propounder and practitioner of Bhagavad Dharma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself, Lord Sri Krishna, when He came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to practice, that time He enumerated the teachings of Bhagavad Dharma or the essence of Bhagavad Dharma in threefold teachings. It is like one can understand effect of a medicine by how the person is getting cured. So if somebody is taking medicine and the effect of the medicine would manifest in terms of regaining the health, in the same way, if somebody is practicing Bhagavad Dharma, then it should come out as these three prominent practices in one's life. The first one is Name Ruchi. Name Ruchi means attraction for the holy name. Supreme Lord has unlimited holy names. If somebody is attached to chanting the holy name all the time, he has developed such a taste that he cannot remain without chanting the holy name. If somebody's life is dedicated to such a practice of holy name, such an attachment to the holy name, that means he has imbibed one of the most important principles of Bhagavad Dharma. And that can be seen by the practice of chanting of the holy name. The second one is Vaishnav Seva. Vaishnav Seva stands for service to great devotees of the Lord. Of course, Vaishnav Seva also stands for service to all types of devotees. But actually here, the indication of Vaishnav Seva is that one should endeavor to serve those devotees who can ignite attraction for the holy name. Because although the most prominent teaching is that one should have attraction for the holy name, it does not manifest automatically. It is said that attraction to holy name does not manifest unless one comes in contact with somebody who has got attraction for the holy name. One cannot get attraction for holy name simply by reading books or, you know, listening to tapes. Nowadays, so many tapes are available in the market, and so many mantras and stotras and chants and bhajans. You can hear all that, but that does not mean that that would enable you to develop attraction for the holy name. So to indicate how one can develop attraction to the holy name, the second thing is given. Vaishnav Seva. Vaishnav Seva is the principle. When somebody serves a great soul who has got attraction for the holy name, that time he can develop some attraction for the holy name. So second principle is given, Vaishnav Seva. And since we do not know who are the Vaishnavas, Vaishnavas are like, you know, it is said, their personality is like salt. Salt is very important when we eat the food. Any food that we eat cannot have its taste unless some salt is there. So Vaishnavas are like salt. They are present. But at the same time, they are not visible. When you eat the food, like suppose you are enjoying, what do I say? Famous samosa of Shri Shri Radha Raj Bihari ji. Does anyone know what is the famous samosa? The sweet samosa, that is very famous. So if you, of course, It is sweet. So salt cannot be present. So the example is not appropriate. To convey what is the right example, you can say that Vaishnava is like sugar. If can be like salt, he is like sugar. Sugar is also not visible. Right? So no problem. The example carries on still. So when you open that samosa, you don't see any sugar. You see dry fruit. You see, you know, nice mawa, nicely, you know, fried on a pan, and then added some sugar with some ghee, and then the dough for the making samosa. And after making that samosa, the dough is filled, and then it is fried. And when you eat it, you don't see any sugar. But what happens? Sugar is that element which gives taste to the samosa. It is not visible. It is not seen. You can see the flour, that is maida, made the outer covering. You can see also some ghee simmering all over it. Then you can see the dry fruits and other ingredients. But you cannot see the sugar. But that is what gives taste to that samosa. In the same way, a Vaishnava is there who really brings the conclusions of scriptures alive. He may not be visible. He may not be seen. He may be assuming a very humble position, like Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. And therefore, it is very difficult to understand who is a Vaishnava. And therefore, rather than looking for a Vaishnava who can fit the definition, ki I want to serve, like sometimes devotees have this idea, Prabhuji, can you introduce me to a Mahabhagavat devotee? I really want to serve a Mahabhagavat devotee. But a Mahabhagavat devotee would never declare that he is a Mahabhagavat devotee. So how would you know? So therefore the principle is, one should serve devotees. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given this definition that anyone who takes the holy name of the Lord is a devotee. And therefore, anyone who is seen present in Harinam Sankirtan becomes a Vaishnava. And one should serve all the Vaishnavas. But if by chance, by fortune, one comes to know a great soul, that one should purposefully try to serve that great soul. Now sometimes what happens when you want to serve a great soul, then in India it is very common. They want to rush. Like Kumbh Mela. Today Kumbh Mela is there. And Mauni Amavasya, the biggest holy bath. It is said 6 crore people would be taking bath. And I think since it is going to be about 2 o'clock, 50% might have been cleared, hopefully. If the, you know, the great souls who have already taken bath, after that only common people can enter. Sometimes people like to go to a great assembly or, you know, a mela, and they like to search for a sadhu. And what is their understanding of service to a sadhu? Grab their lotus feet. Grab it. Run towards them. Somehow the, you know, just like sometimes people are accustomed to play some football or hockey or something like that, and they see only the goal. The goal is there. Somehow or other I must move forward towards the goal and kick. So, since we are born and brought up in material consciousness, when a sadhu comes, the first thing is attack. Attack the lotus feet, grab it, and squeeze. Squeeze the holy dust, a prized possession, and sprinkle, and then, now I am the most delivered, most celebrated personality, because I have extracted, squeezed out the holy dust of the lotus feet of great sadhus. such an approach to service of a Vaishnava is only creates more problem in our life. What is the best service to a Vaishnava, a great devotee? Hearing his words, holy words, and following those holy words in one's life. That is the greatest service. Because the great personalities may not be always visible, but whenever, wherever they go, they leave their words. They leave their example. A devotee's life is such a life, a great devotee's life, that whenever he goes, whenever he, even though he does not speak, he is speaking volumes through his own example. Like we have heard about so many great devotees, like Sant Tukaram. Sant Tukaram, of course, has left so many abhangas, the poetry. But what does inspire us the most? The example. How he lived his life, how he was devoted to worship of Supreme Lord. So that example one has to imbibe. And the example is also a message. That example one should try to practice according to his own capacity in his own life. So, Vaishnava Seva actually means understanding the mood of a Vaishnava, understanding his message, and try to live one's life as per that message. That is the highest level of Vaishnava Seva. Of course, there is another concept of Vaishnava Seva. This is called Vani Seva. When you are serving Vani or words of a Vaishnava, there is another Seva that is called Vapu Seva. One can offer physical service, but there is a great danger in that type of service. Because we are not trained in the right type of service, when we come close to a great Vaishnava, maybe our service, our physical service, may not please him. We don't know how to please a great Vaishnava. Being ourselves very much self-centric. So therefore, it is recommended that Vapu Seva or physical service should be done by those who understand the mood and personality of a great Vaishnava. Otherwise, Vani Seva is common for all. This is the second teaching. So Vaishnava Seva is important to develop attraction to the holy name. But what happens when somebody develops attraction to holy name and he is inclined to serve the Vaishnavas? Then the third principle should also be present. And what is that third principle? That is Jeeva Daya. That is to service to, compassion to all the living entities. So, today we would like to have some understanding of this principle of compassion, why it is important for a devotee, and how to understand what is real compassion, and how it is different from so-called compassion, which is usually a material understanding. To understand this principle, we would like to narrate a story from Padma Puran. This is about Janak Maharaj. Janak Maharaj is most celebrated personality. He is father of goddess Sita Devi. And he is one of the 12 Mahajanas. Prahlado, Janako, Bhishmo, one of the Mahajanas. So it is said that Janak Maharaj, when he completed his service in this material world, and after that, he gave up his body in complete trance, remembrance of the Lord. And after leaving his body, beautiful chariot came, aerial chariot in which he was riding, and he was being taken to the spiritual world. As he was being taken to the spiritual world, he passed through very close of the hellish planets. So when he was passing through the hellish planets, the breeze touching his body went forward and touched the sinners who were living in the hellish planets. And as soon as that breeze touched those sinners, they immediately experienced happiness in their heart. So realizing that in that suffering condition of hell, there was a relief and they could see a great personality is going passing by. So they cried out. Those residents of the hell, they cried out, "Oh, great personality, please don't go. Please don't go. Kindly deliver us." So seeing their piteous cry, Janak Maharaj, he told the charioteer to stop the chariot. And he stopped there. And then he understood. Then he said that I would like, please take me close to the hell. He was taken very close to the hell, the gate of the hell. But he was not allowed inside. Well, how can, you know, the celebrated servants of Sri Yamaraj would allow a Mahajana like Janak Maharaj inside the hell? Hell is not a suitable position for a great devotee. So he stayed very close to the hell. And because he was present there, the residents of the hellish planets, they were experiencing great relief. So he told that I would like to be here. I don't want to move from this place. I want to remain here. It was a big dilemma. So that Yamdutas, they went to Sri Yamaraj ji and told that a great personality is standing at the gate of the hell. And he is very eager to come inside. So Sri Yamaraj, he personally, he said, now, one of the great Mahajan, only one great Mahajan can actually convince another Mahajan. So Yamaraj ji, he went there and he said, Sri Janak Maharaj, he offered his obeisances, inquired about his well-being, and he said, what's the matter? Why are you standing here? He said that I want to remain here. Well, why do you want to remain? Well, I am seeing that simply an insignificant entity like me can be of use to some suffering souls. Then I would like to be engaged in that type of service. I have realized that simply by my presence here, those who are in hell are enjoying some relief. So please, let me remain in hell. So Sri Yamaraj ji, he started describing. Do you know, Janak Maharaj ji, this hell belongs to what type of personalities? So we don't want to go into that description. But there was a repeated reference to different types of living entities who committed different types of crimes. Somebody raped somebody, somebody molested, somebody killed, somebody, you know, stole another's wife, somebody plundered another's wealth, somebody killed a cow, somebody killed a brahmana. Like that huge list was there. And it was described why these people were brought here and how they were suffering. So Janak Maharaj, when he was describing the suffering, he was just praying for them, standing there. And he said, then Sri Yamaraj ji asked him, after hearing the so-called sinful feats of these residents, do you still want to reside here? So Janak Maharaj said that, yes, My heart is completely overcome by experiencing the grief that these residents are passing through. So therefore, I would like to offer myself to be here. He was very adamant. He said, I want to be in hell. Then Sri Yamaraji said, actually, an aerial plane has come to you, come to pick you and carry you to the spiritual world where you can enjoy association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there would be no pain, no suffering, life full of bliss. Janak Maharaj, he said, thank you for your suggestion. I want to remain here in hell. This is the right position for me. So this is the quality of a great soul, a Mahabhagavat, Mahajan, that he is so much overcome by the compassion for the suffering souls that he would like to take extreme situation of suffering himself just to give happiness to them. Shri Prahlad Maharaj, another Mahajan, he also spoke a beautiful verse in which he says that, I would like to remain in this material world as long as a single fool is there who would like to reside in this material world and enjoy. So he said, I don't want to go back home, back to Godhead. I want to remain here. The same mood. So, Janak Maharaj, he was standing there. Then Sri Yamaraj ji, he said, I have to offer some solution. So considering that, he said, Sri Janak Maharaj, I understand your great position. I would like to offer you some solution. So Janak Maharaj said, what is the solution? If you offer, Sri Yamaraj ji said, if you offer the result of one of the very, very important activity that you performed, then because of the result of that benefit, all the living entities who are there residing in hell would be liberated. He said, please tell me, what is that? Then Sri Yamaraj ji said, once when you got up in morning, that time with great eagerness, you remembered your Lord, Sri Ramachandra. That remembrance was so great that your eyes were full of tears and you experienced great ecstasy by that remembrance. So if you offer the result of that activity, then all the residents of the hellish planets would be liberated. And Janak Maharaj said, so be it. Then he said, but this is the most important spiritual activity that you have performed. And this is what is your merit. This remembrance is your merit. And that's how you are going back home, back to Godhead. He said, Janak Maharaj, still, I would like to offer the result of this activity for the benefit of all the souls who are residing in hell. And immediately he prayed and offered that activity. And what happened? All the residents of hellish planet, they got liberated. And then Janak Maharaj, seeing them happy, he also became jubilant. But then what happened? His spiritual virtue did not, go away. Immediately, the beautiful airplane again came back to him. Because he performed the greatest spiritual virtue, that is to offer his own virtues, own merits for the benefit of others. And that itself is a very great virtue. And because of that great virtue, he was again taken back to the spiritual world. So this story illustrates to us What is the quality of compassion of a great soul? Compassion of a great soul is not for the external form. Like it is mentioned here, this is the verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And here, this verse starts with the words saying that Arjuna's eyes were full of tears, full of lamentation, and he was full of compassion for all his kith and kin and relatives. And seeing that, Lord Krishna spoke. Why did Krishna start speaking? Because Lord Krishna's heart was also full of compassion. Seeing his friend Arjuna in a very, very distressful condition, Lord Krishna started speaking. And the second verse of this chapter, Lord Krishna is speaking about it. He's trying to address Arjuna. How are you in such a distressful situation? So it is said that a very beautiful sentence is spoken, written by Srila Prabhupada. Compassion for the eternal soul is self-realization. We can have compassion for others. The so-called compassion which is usually understood in material world is usually, it is a exhibition of kindness, a sort of kindness. Like, you know, some people, they go out, they see some beggars on the street, they like to, you know, give some food or some money or some clothes. Or they may feel compassionate seeing some other people who may be in need of some other facility. It may be house, it may be some little money to start some business, or maybe somebody might be suffering from a great disease, requires some financial help. So in material world, there are many conceptions by which people exhibit their kindness. So being kind is nothing wrong. But the kindness or exhibition of kindness has to be situated on this principle, which is mentioned here, that it should be for the eternal soul. So what does it mean? Does it mean that sometimes it happens? When we read about this, devotees think that, yes, I want to be compassionate, I want to be kind, but for what? But for the soul, the eternal soul. And I am one of the greatly realized soul who has understood the import. I have read Bhagavad Gita. I am a devotee. So now I am ready to offer compassion to whom? To soul. I don't see anybody. I see only the soul. And my life is just to offer compassion to the soul. So this one understanding may be there, but however, this understanding is not complete. Why it is not complete? Because how can somebody who himself is on bodily consciousness understand what is the need of a soul? By reading a few words and understanding some message, we don't actually become knower of the truth. And that's what we have seen in the skit. Rup Narayan was a big scholar. He was well versed in all the scriptures. But what was the quality? He was infected with pride. That in that pride, he wanted to establish himself as a great scholar. So sometimes we may also have the similar mentality in which we would like to approach people and tell them, I am a devotee and you are a non-devotee. I stand right in front of you as a great messenger to deliver you and give you the most precious gift. I am ambassador of the greatest welfare work, and I would like to give you the best gift. So when we approach somebody with this mood itself is not kindness. This mood itself is very much against the Vaishnava principles. This mood itself is a show of our internal, impurity of heart. So therefore, even if somebody is showing this way, and trying to help somebody on a spiritual level, it may not be complete. No doubt, somebody who is trying to help others materially by giving some food or clothes or whatever, that person's compassion is also not complete. But at the same time, compassion, if it is exhibition of compassion, if it is with pride, if it is not with humility, that also is imperfect. So therefore, in this skit we saw, when Srila Rupa Goswami was instructed by Srila Sanatana Goswami that please exhibit Jeeva Daya, that means mercy on Srila Jeeva Goswami. So he indicated that also through that one should exhibit compassion to other living entities in the mood of being their servant and mood of accepting them, although they might have committed some mistakes. So that is the mood that is exhibited by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Prabhupada, who has been the modern ambassador of Krishna consciousness, he was a totally different personality. He has instructed by his life how we should practice the principle of compassion. Srila Prabhupada has exhibited compassion not only for the soul. Because when you talk about soul, we don't know what is the soul, what is a person. Like for example, some devotee comes in front of me and I become very much conscious of his spiritual needs, but not of his other needs. And I keep on telling him continuously about that, Prabhu, I am here for your spiritual needs. I can help you in chanting the holy name. I can help you in reading Srimad Bhagavatam. At the same time, I am not making any connection to his person, because the person who is right in front of me is at present. He is not a completely liberated soul. He is a Vaishnava who is having other needs also. So one has to recognize other needs of a Vaishnava. Like once upon a time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj was asked this question very openly. There was one great Pandit Shyama Sundar Chakrabarti. And he asked him, what do you mean by compassion for other living entities? Do you approve of this distribution of food and clothes to suffering living entities? Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he said, we would like to distribute foods, clothes, and all other facilities to those who, after many, many lives, have come to accept the path of service to Hari. Then he said, we also would like to offer all the facilities, all the necessities, all the requirements for those who are in the service of Sri Lord Hari. Then he said, our service too, because though they are servants of Hari, we would like to offer them everything. We would like to offer our lives in service of such great souls, or anyone who has accepted the path of service to Supreme Personality of Godhead. But however, he indicated that if there are envious people, and if we simply offer them all facilities, material facilities, and they become proud by accepting those material facilities, then that is not a real service. That is not compassion at all. And he gave an example. The serpent is very venomous and very, very, you know, very harmful. If somebody would like to feed milk and bananas to a serpent, thinking that I am doing some help, very great, wonderful creature, he is a living entity, let me offer some milk, banana, because this living entity is hungry, that is not going to bring any help. It is simply going to increase the poison of that snake. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said, compassion is a quality of a Vaishnava, but it has to be exercised with right understanding. On one hand, if we act only on spiritual platform and talk about only spirituality and only things which are spiritual in nature, we are not accepting the full nature of a Vaishnava. Like for example, Sri Madhavendra Puri, he gave this example. He said, when you talk about a coconut, when you go to a market, we see coconut. So there are different grades of coconut. For example, the fruit which is directly from the tree, if I get a fruit, a dried fruit from the tree, coconut, and I show you, what is it? What would you say? Coconut. After that, what I do? I take a sharp knife, start peeling off the fiber which is there. I peel off entire fiber, and there is a hard shell which is visible. I ask you, what is it? What would you say? Coconut. Then I say, okay. Then, you know, there are some experts. If you go to purchase coconut, they go on hammering the coconut in a particular manner on a stone, right? And then they break it. And what happens? The hard shell falls out. And inside, there is again a round ball. If I ask you, what is it? What would you say? Coconut. So what is coconut? The very first fruit which was on the tree is also coconut. The hard shell is also coconut. And when you remove hard shell, then there is a coconut. But then you can say, this is fiber, this is hard shell, and this is the coconut. So that thing is called coconut because of the most important ingredient which is present inside. So Srila Madhavendra Puri gave this example to understand what is Atman. He says, Atman essentially stands for the spirit soul. But he said, Atman also stands for the mind. And Atman also stands for the physical body. As long as the physical body and the mind are connected to the soul, they have to be considered Atman. So when we meet a Vaishnava or a living entity, his personality, we should know that he is not just the spirit soul. His Atman is also his physical body, his mind, and his spirit soul. By Krishna's arrangement, we all have a physical body and the mind. And at present, whatever Krishna consciousness we are practicing, it is through the body and through the mind only. Although we talk about spiritual subject matters, we may talk about spirit soul, we are talking through material body and material mind. And we are using our material body and material mind in service of the Lord. And by chanting the holy name, what happens? This material mind gets spiritualized. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that's how this material mind gets spiritualized. When you first chant the holy name, what do you use? We use our tongue. So, can we say this tongue of a living entity he is vibrating, you know, the holy name through the tongue, and we deny another need of the same tongue. One activity of the tongue is to speak, to chant the holy names. What is another need of the tongue? To eat. So Srila Prabhupada therefore has given this perfect arrangement. There is also prasadam after the program. Imagine, if Srila Prabhupada had created a society, only Krishna Katha, I don't think that we would have so many great personalities sitting here. So the thing is, a great soul can understand. Although they are talking from the most highest platform of the spiritual realization, they also can bring down that spiritual substance to the present status of a living entity. And therefore they are acharyas. A acharya is one, like I believe morning also the example is given. The mother knows the need of a child. Mother's milk is most nutritious for the child. But sometimes when a child drinks too much of milk, the same milk also produces diarrhea for the child. Right? The same mother's milk, which is very nourishing, if it is taken more, it may create indigestion, diarrhea. And then what does mother have to do? Mother has to give some bitter medicine to the same child. Why not the most nourishing substance? Similarly, it is possible for us. It is possible for us to take so many spiritual subject matters, to fill our brain with so much of spiritual stuff that it creates a sort of indigestion. And then we don't know what is right, what is wrong. So acharya is one who really knows what is the need of a child. And therefore, acharya would present. Like for example, if a child is having diarrhea and requires nourishment also, so it may require some small doses of milk. Or milk has to be diluted and given. A mother can judge. Similarly, an acharya is one who brings the most profound spiritual substance, the message of the scriptures, as per the need, as per the present qualification and standard of a living entity. Srila Prabhupada exhibited that type of compassion. On one hand, Srila Prabhupada was speaking very heavily. If you hear Srila Prabhupada was speaking practically against every philosophy. He was speaking against Mayavad, he was speaking against materialists, against scientists. At the same time, Srila Prabhupada, when he was personally relating to people, he was very affectionate. And in fact, all the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, what do they recall? They don't recall the big, big lectures. They don't recall what Srila Prabhupada spoke in a particular lecture, that may be also there. But they recall their personal association with Srila Prabhupada. How Srila Prabhupada touched their hearts with his kindness, his real compassion, really trying to give the right message to them. For example, Srila Prabhupada, there was a sannyasi, disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting, and this sannyasi disciple, he was narrating. Srila Prabhupada, he said, sometimes I see some poor person on the street. Actually, he narrated how he saw a woman. She was trying to take out something from a trash. Very poor lady. So he narrated that to Srila Prabhupada. And she said, sometimes I feel a lot of feeling for these types of people. How can I help them? And Srila Prabhupada said, why sometimes? Why only sometimes you have this feeling? He indicated that every time we should have this feeling, whenever we see a suffering soul. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada wanted to give this message that we are here to do our duty. And all the great souls who come to this material world, they have a different mission. And their mission is exhibition of true compassion for the suffering living conditioned souls. Take any example. Take example of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna. Why? Lord Krishna, out of compassion, spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. We have Srimad Bhagavatam. There is a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, I think second or third verse. It says that let me offer our respectful obeisances to Srila Shukdev Goswami, who out of compassion has presented the essence of all Vedic knowledge in form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we also can recall so many other examples of great devotees. Like the most prominent examples, we have Srila Haridas Thakur. What is his example? When we recall Srila Haridas Thakur's life, yes, we recall his attachment to holy name. But what are the two most important pastimes of Srila Haridas Thakur, which are very prominent and very famous? As far as I know, as far as my understanding, maybe every devotee has got a different, you know, flavor and different experience. I recall two pastimes. First is how he exhibited total forgiveness to those people who were attacking him. He was beaten 22 times in marketplaces. But still, he was having a heart full of compassion and forgiveness for those who were beating him. And why this pastime is most important? Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recalled this incident only when he was doing Mahaprakash Leela. He said, oh Haridas, do you recall? Do you recall that day when you were beaten 22 times in marketplaces? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, he said, yes, I do recall. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that actually your heart was so much full of forgiveness for them who were hitting you, beating you. It was full of compassion for them that I was ready with my Sudarshan Chakra to kill them, but it was not moving. Your quality of compassion was so great. Then I had no other alternative. I had to cover your body with myself. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed his own back. And he showed to all the devotees. His back was full of bruises, red marks. He said, this I sustained, O Haridas, for you. So this is the quality of compassion of Sri Haridas Thakur. Another example comes to me, which is the deliverance of a prostitute. This is a very instructive, how a great devotee like Srila Haridas Thakur is actually exhibiting compassion. His compassion is actually for the welfare of the living entity, but how he is delivering it, that is very instructive. We all know that story that Ramchandra Khan had sent one prostitute, and this prostitute was trying to attract Srila Haridas Thakur to have a union. So Srila Haridas Thakur, he was sitting and chanting the holy names. When she came, he did not express any displeasure. He did not say anything. Oh, why have you come? What type of lady? Chant the holy name. You sinful. Nothing. Did not say anything. He said, okay, come and sit down. offer obeisances to Srila Tulsi Devi, Sri Tulsi Devi. And then he said, he even did not say whether he is not going to accept her offer. She offered, I want to unite with you. What he said? No problem. We'll see to it. We'll see to it. He did not say, no, no, that is not possible. I am chanting holy names. How I am, you know, following four regulative principles. How are you expecting from me? Did not say anything. He said, sit down. No problem. We'll take care of it. And he was chanting. He kept on chanting. She also, you know, chanted. She also heard it. Earlier, she was singing some different songs. Haridas Thakur was chanting holy name and she was singing some different songs. First day, it happened like that. Second day, she got tired. She said, what is this? Haridas Thakur said, don't worry. I am going to finish my war of completing my rounds and then I would be readily available to you. Haridas Thakur did not break the hope. She came with an evil intention. He did not break the hope. A very expert, you know, lesson in preaching. He said, sit down. He kept, and then second day also she heard. Third day, what happened? She came, she sat down. And then third day, she also started chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And what happened? We all know that her heart was transformed. She surrendered her life to the lotus feet of Srila Haridas Thakur. And Srila Haridas Thakur initiated him, gave her holy name. So this is another example of compassion. But you cannot exhibit compassion immediately on a spiritual platform. So therefore, a great soul or a great devotee has to understand and accommodate other levels. The other levels are not the ultimate truth. They are not the most complete thing. But it has to be accepted so that gradually one can be elevated to the spiritual level. And this requires a lot of expertise, lot of understanding, lot of maturity. And therefore, we all come here to learn this from all the great souls. And I would like to end with a little pastime from Srila Prabhupada's life. Srila Prabhupada was also a different type of preacher. So this is another example. There was one Dr. Patel. Srila Prabhupada was very fond of Dr. Patel. He's one of the historical figures in Srila Prabhupada's, you know, all the pastimes. And he was there in India, in Juhu. So Srila Prabhupada used to go for morning walk and he used to accompany Srila Prabhupada many times. So many times Srila Prabhupada and Dr. Patel used to have arguments. Dr. Patel used to present some point and Srila Prabhupada used to practically smash it. So some devotees were confused. They said, what is this? This Dr. Patel and Srila Prabhupada, they keep on arguing. And once it so happened that Dr. Patel said something. And Prabhupada said, no. Dr. Patel glorified some spiritual figure. And Srila Prabhupada said, no. Krishna says, namam duskritino mudha prapadyante nara dhama. And Srila Prabhupada spoke from Bhagavad Gita. He said, they are fools and rascals. And he said, Prabhupada, you cannot say like that. You can't say like that. How can you say like that? Prabhupada said, I would say. I will say 100 times. And all the disciples, they were listening to this and they were confused. He said, Prabhupada, you cannot say like that. You are a Vaishnava Acharya. How can you say like that? Prabhupada said, I am not saying. Krishna is saying. So I have to say, this is not my words. This is Krishna is telling. So then he was silent. And then disciples were very confused. They went to Srila Prabhupada. They asked, Srila Prabhupada, why are you tolerating him so much? He is in mood of argument. Then Srila Prabhupada became very silent. He said, I know the secret. Then devotees asked, what is the secret? They said, I know the secret of relating to Dr. Patel. And all the devotees, they were thinking, what is the secret? How do we know? Then Srila Prabhupada told them a story. He told them a story about a man who knew many languages. And he could speak in any language at any time. So all the people who were around him, they were very confused. What is his mother tongue? You know, he can speak this language and that language and every language he can speak so perfectly. So what is the mother tongue? So ultimately, you know, they were discussing. So one of them said, I know. How to know the mother tongue? He said, what? Just wait. Tomorrow what happens? Tomorrow, it so happened that he was talking in a particular language. And he came, the other man came from behind and hit him hard behind. And after that, what happened? This person immediately in mother tongue started blurting out. He said, this is your language. So then everyone was, you know, they said, yes, you have caught. So we speak our native language when we are in most, like in a situation of great anxiety or great, we are most hurt, then naturally we speak what is the language closest to our heart. So Srila Prabhupada, after speaking the story, he said, I know Dr. Patel and I know where to hit. Then the real thing comes out. So this was Srila Prabhupada's compassion. That he could relate to a personality like Dr. Patel, could speak harsh words to him, and still, what happened? Dr. Patel had full reverence, full, appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. He did not mind whatever Srila Prabhupada said. So this is another way a devotee knows how to exhibit his compassion. But we cannot take this example. We cannot practice it. Anyone who is like Dr. Patel, and I go to hit him, maybe he will hit me twice. So we have to understand from the great personalities that we definitely need to exhibit compassion in our preaching activities. And propagation of Krishna consciousness is highest welfare work. However, this has to be done with expertise. This has to be done with expertise, and this has to be done with maturity. And the most important thing is, like I heard in today's Bhagavatam class, that this knowledge comes, this understanding comes, when we are actually taking shelter of holy name, and we are actually trying to please Vaishnavas, then we can exhibit right mood of compassion for the living entities. If we are not connected to the Supreme by proper process of chanting of holy name, if we do not have connection to Vaishnavas, whatever Krishna consciousness we might be practicing or trying to give to others, with great conviction in holy name, with great attachment to the service of Vaishnavas, that type of service, that type of jivdaya, may not be very productive. Definitely it can be of some help, but it will not be fully productive. But somebody who has mature understanding, attachment to holy name, service to Vaishnavas, a great soul like Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's followers, they exactly know how to reach people, how to connect to them, how to give them Krishna consciousness. And according to time, place and people, the acharyas adopt a particular compassionate approach to spread Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Hare.
This is the intelligent way of sending a message to stop the class. I extended a little bit, so I am sorry for that. I don't know whether there is a time for question or not. It's over. Okay, I would just take this question. And this question is about salt and sugar. So it says that you shared the example of salt, sugar, and sweet samosa. My question is that how to develop consciousness to perform service and at same time not to take any credit, as we require a bit of appreciation to continue the service. Okay. So this question is about we want to perform service selflessly without any recognition, but at the same time that little appreciation each one of us are looking for. So yes, when we live in Vaishnava society, this need is automatically fulfilled. I remember my earlier days when I came to the temple and offered obeisances and somebody told me, Prabhu, and I was amazed. He's talking about whom? Who is that Prabhu? He said, I'm talking to you, Prabhu. I said, me? Prabhu? No, I'm not Prabhu. But that's the reality of Vaishnava culture. If we live in Vaishnava culture, automatically everything is very nicely balanced. There are other Vaishnavas who will constantly, you know, encourage us. But we should not have a desire to be encouraged. So in Vaishnava society, other Vaishnavas should understand this need that a devotee needs encouragement. They should provide that. But for us, we should not desire any appreciation. That is the principle. This is another question, short question, that you shared the example of Janak Maharaj and Haridas Thakur. Question is that how to show or develop compassion to people who criticize or condemn? Yeah. So, I would like to again announce a disclaimer in the end. I never intended that we should follow the example of Srila Haridas Thakur. And, run to show compassion to those who criticize and condemn us. Scriptures explain us that there are three categories of Vaishnavas: Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, and Uttam Adhikari. We should know what is our level. A Kanishtha Adhikari is one who can just practice his own Krishna consciousness. And if he likes to preach or do anything, maybe his understanding is not so mature or perfect. So a Kanishtha Adhikari is restricted to his own self-practice of Krishna consciousness. It's best for him that he does his own chanting, reading, seva, whatever. There's a higher level, which is called Madhyam Adhikari. Madhyam Adhikari is an advanced soul who can discriminate. He knows who are Vaishnavas. He also knows who are not Vaishnavas. He also knows who are my friends. He also knows who are ignorant living entities. So, prema, maitri, krupa, upeksha, ya karoti sa madhyama. So, such a soul who is on madhyam platform can develop affectionate dealings with prema for the, you know, the great personalities, maitri with those who are equals, krupa or exhibition of compassion for whom? Those who are ignorant, innocent living entities. And the fourth thing is upeksha. Upeksha means neglect. Those who criticize, condemn, envious, one has to neglect them. So this is the principle which is followed by those who are on Madhyam platform. Srila Haridas Thakur is on Uttam platform. Janak Maharaj, they are Uttam, Mahabhagavat. For them, the level is different. One Srila Prabhupada described in another way these levels. He divided five levels. He presented five levels. He said there are some people in the world, they see only bad.
Even if good is there, they see only bad. Then the higher are, they catch little bad and speak about it. The lowest level is, in good also they see bad. The little higher, they see some little bad and speak about it. Higher than that are those who see bad, who see good. But they resist to speak, either speak about, if they cannot speak about good, they resist the temptation to speak about bad. Higher than that are those who see maximum good and very little bad. And they focus their consciousness on the good. And highest are those who see little good, but exemplify or maximize it. Even in bad, they see only good. So these are the highest, most qualified personalities, Mahabhagavatas. So this example of Janak Maharaj and Haridas Thakur is for our understanding, so that we appreciate them, we understand the nature of their compassion, and we follow practice of compassion according to our qualification. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.